League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Class is now in session, and the UPS Store is here to help you ace arriving on campus. Our certified packing experts can pack everything you need, from desktops to decor. Plus, when you pack and ship with us, you get our exclusive pack and ship guarantee. Your items arrive safe or your money back. Restrictions and limitations apply. To get a 20% off packing coupon and for full details, visit the upsstore.com/packing.
Welcome back to Emotional Intelligence. It's been a couple of weeks, but we've got a very special, special episode today. I've just finished Ironman 70.3, my first ever Ironman 70.3. My first ever Ironman event, and I'm joined with Jake, who also took part. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, bro.
Yeah?
Long
first
day.
First ever Ironman 70.3 as
first
well?
First ever triathlon.
Yeah, insane. You didn't even do one in the build-up,
no,
did you?
No, I did some fake ones, but just didn't have one that...
Oh, you, like, simmed them yourself?
Simmed them, but it wasn't the same, turned out.
No, the actual race itself is something that... Transitions are like a complete head fuck. Did you find transitions okay today?
It was fine. I think I just didn't rush.
Yeah.
Because for the extra couple minutes, you see some guys with the shoes on the bike.
Yeah,
it's just not worth it, you know.
There's some absolute pros. But let me give a bit of background to this. Obviously, I've been documenting my process training for this event. I just kind of wanted to try something a bit different. Obviously, done a fair bit of running, but I thought, why not give triathlon a crack in the summer? And I actually stumbled across Jake's page sort of the same time that I was starting my training.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you actually commented when I posted my announcement video that we were doing the same event.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Such a rogue one to do as well, by the way.
I know, but why did you choose it? Because I've got a reason.
So, my reason is after a couple beers on New Year's Eve, met two random blokes who said, we're doing an Ironman, do you fancy it? Randomly. And I was like, yeah, go for it. Next day I booked my ticket, sent it to them. They went, oh shit, we've not even booked our ticket yet.
So you fully thought they were already locked in?
Yeah, they were already locked in.
Bought yours?
But luckily, well, actually one lad booked it straight away. The other one ended up paying €1,000. So yeah, I think they picked Luxembourg because... the dates lined up or something?
That was exactly the same as me.
For me, no reason.
No. I chose the Luxembourg one because the timeline of it was perfect. I had Paris Marathon in April, and I was like, this gives me a recovery period, and then to have like an 8-week training block, which is not long enough for your first half Ironman. But we
no triathlon,
anyway.
No running.
Never.
So just running. No.
Swimming when I was a kid.
Okay.
Swam a lot when I was a
and
kid.
And bike?
No, never.
Turns out bike's the main thing. Apparently.
Yeah, yeah. So I found that out the hard way, halfway through the block. We'll get onto that. But yeah, I just want to use this podcast as a little debrief because I always think, by the way, this is the same day as the event. We are both absolutely knackered. We both signed up. We both trained. How did training go for you, mate?
Training went all right, but my position was I thought I could swim because I could swim in like a pool on holiday.
Yeah.
Turns out 50 meters, I was gassed. Mm-hmm. So I found out very quick I couldn't swim.
Yeah.
And then bike, I'd never rode a road bike before.
Uh-huh.
So that was like a bit of a steep learning curve with the whole cleats in the front room. And I think you were there as well.
Yeah.
But the run, there was a bit I found fine.
Yeah.
Because before I did a bit of Hyrox and that, the run was kind of fine. Today.
So like you were used to running on compromised legs.
Yeah. Didn't work out that way today. But generally, I think training went okay. But 3 months is not long enough, I don't think either.
No.
Depends what time you're going for and your starting position.
Yeah, sorry, by the way, if you are an audio listener, we are outside on our Airbnb balcony, so there may be trains going past, but just adds to the authenticity of this immediate reaction. Okay, so you had running experience, but none of the other two.
Yeah, none of the other two. And then swimming, I think, was my issue was, I found out very quick, I always thought wetsuit was a choice. Turns out there's a limit. A temperature limit that you can wear the wetsuit.
Yeah.
And I think they announced yesterday it was 22.7 the water.
Yeah.
And you can wear a wetsuit up to 24.5. wearing a wetsuit is like swimming with armbands, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, without it, I don't think I would have finished today.
Do you genuinely think that you would have really struggled to
finish
it?
I would have breaststroked the whole way.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, my legs sink.
Yeah.
And I also hadn't practiced at all with no pool boy and no wetsuit.
Okay.
And I think a couple of weeks ago, I tried to do a couple lengths with no aid. Yeah, it's like a never swim.
Wait, so all of your swim training was with a pool boy?
All of it. Because I went to a swim coach.
That's crazy.
I went to a swim coach, right? And he goes, when's the Ironman? I said, oh, July. And he went, July 2026. And I said, no, in like 2 months' time. He goes, okay, well, we've not got time to teach how to kick. So put a pool boy in and just pray it's a wetsuit race. So you can imagine yesterday my reaction.
Mate,
when they said...
you must have been so anxious last night.
So anxious. I think my resting heart rate when I was sleeping was like 60.
Oh my God. I didn't even realise this.
Well, one of the other boys that we're doing it with, he hadn't swam open water before until today.
Oh my God.
First ever time.
Is he a strong swimmer though?
No.
Oh.
Same position as me. He swam a 47 today.
Okay.
But he got out of the water expecting them to tell him he'd DNF'd.
Oh really? Because so no one else was swimming?
He just said he'd gone so slow, he'd do breaststroke for 50 metres, then a little bit of front crawl, then breaststroke again. 47's not that bad.
Considering he's doing that, that's not bad
at
all. Obviously, you went into this as someone who has never really swum before. I was someone that hadn't swum properly for like 12 years or so. I found that I clicked back with it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I literally, as soon as I got in the pool, it took me like 5 lengths to almost get the muscle memory back. Yeah. It was really odd. But what would be your kind of like recommendation to someone who hasn't swam before but they're thinking of signing up to
get
a race?
Swimming lesson.
Yeah.
Like at 28 years old, it's a bit embarrassing going to a swimming lesson when you think you can swim. Mm. But I think
you not get your like Kellogg's badges and all of that.
Unfortunately not. No. The towel, the embroidered ones.
Yeah, yeah. No, God, so I had a few patches on mine.
I can imagine. Mm. So I went to this guy, and from that point onward,
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
He basically filmed me underwater, showed me technique. He was like, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I don't know.
I think I saw an early video of you trying to swim.
From that
it
point...
It looked like you were drowning.
Yeah, it felt like I was drowning as well. From that point onwards, changed the whole game. And the swim time today, fastest ever swim.
Talked about the swim then. How did it go today?
So swim, we hit a 39, I think.
Sweet.
39, is that right? I think 39.
Let's check on the app.
Yeah, let's check.
Yeah, let's go through the official times.
So my swim time is 39.14.
Unreal. So your swim time was 39.14, as you just said. Average pace of 2.04 over 100. That's really good, mate. Considering.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. So I went in with a pen 40 to 50.
Yeah.
Probably in the middle of there. Good move, because when I got in there, it wasn't that hectic.
No.
The 30 to 35 and 35 to 40 was busy.
Mate, I was getting trampled on.
I was trampling on people as well, though. No?
Yeah, I had to in the end.
Give it back.
I was trying to just like pick my way through people. So my swim, I was really happy with today. I got 33.59, I think, my official swim time.
Yeah,
let me just quickly double check. 33.59 swim time, 147 over 100. So
rapid.
Yeah, I was really happy with that. But when I got in the water, I was trying to just like be courteous to people and just like pick my way through, but I quickly realized that was pointless because
no one cares.
People are swimming over the top of you. I was getting booted in the head. Actually, I didn't get hit in the head badly, but I definitely got like kicked.
A few ankle grabs in there.
But I was really happy with it. The first, before you turn, so for people listening and watching, there's the course is almost like a rectangle.
Yeah.
But you go out, turn, and then there's a one long sweeping straight back to home before turning again, and then you've got the down river bit, which was unreal. So
the long bit was
the long
upstream.
Bit was upstream. So, but the first bit was so congested for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the hardest part.
Well,
of the
turning
race
around the buoy, people were stopping.
Yeah,
and I was like,
I stopped. I had to. It was so busy. Which is
It was clear when I was in.
But I think back onto the open water swimming thing, I think it's quite an important thing to know. I'd only done one two bits of open water swimming. One, my first one was in a sprint try at Blenheim Palace. So that was like a baptism of fire almost. But it was a very different race. Like, no one trampled on me or anything. I managed to get right to the front of my wave instantly. I think I came out of the water like fourth or something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I had no one around me really. And then the other time was just training, so I had no one around me as well. But this is a different kettle of fish. Everyone says Ironmans are full of like swimming bullies, but they weren't wrong.
I think, do you know what? Even as someone who's, I was most anxious for the swim going into it, end of the race, I'm sat here thinking, swim was the easiest bit by miles.
Yeah, yeah.
By miles.
It was.
Like, I got out of the water. I didn't really, the thing is, when it's your first race, you don't know where to push. So I probably could have pushed more on each, the bike and the swim, maybe.
I couldn't have pushed more on the run.
Oh yeah, on the run I was done. My legs were—I thought my legs were broken halfway through.
Yeah.
But yeah, swim isn't as bad as people say. However, if it was no wetsuit, it'd be completely different.
Yeah, there was a guy next to me actually in the holding pen that was in just a pair of Arena budgie smugglers, which I looked at him because I was like, I saw him from a distance. I was like, he's just got his top half out. I was like, oh, you should probably do up your wetsuit, mate. Like, we're getting on a bit now. Like, we're about to start. And then I look down. He's wearing a pair of hotel sliders. Like, loads of people did this, by the way.
Oh, yeah, loads of people were in the hotel sliders.
The hotel sliders, which you throw away. And then these Arena shorts. Like, they were tiny. And I was like, you know what? Fair play, man. This guy must be a seasoned swimmer. Like, he was in the 30 to 35 he's pen gone, as well.
The water's 22 degrees, guys. Why are you wearing a wetsuit?
It was actually quite hot. It was hot. In the sweatsuit, I felt warm.
Yeah, yeah, same, same.
At one point, for some reason, my goggles started filling up a little bit of water, which I was a little bit worried about, but I didn't actually have to do anything to get rid of it. It kind of just went away and then never came back in, which was lucky. But yeah, all in all, swim went well.
Swim went fine.
Yeah.
Then to transition one.
Yeah. Transition one. By the way, can we just quickly mention that back straight downstream?
Oh yeah, flying.
I was flying. I kept looking up when I was breathing, and it was like I was on a travelator.
Yeah.
It was mental.
Well, this is where I looked across to. Well, when I went up to breathe to my right, there was a woman doing breaststroke, and she was absolutely flying. And I was like, "Am I going really slow, or is something like carrying her?"
Yeah,
yeah. This woman absolutely flew to the finish.
Yeah.
So yeah, the swim, can't complain.
T1, obviously your first ever transition.
Yeah. A lot of people walked. I ran.
Yeah, I ran as well.
Because I thought, I didn't, at this point, I had no idea what the swim time was. I hadn't looked. So I was like, better make some time up.
Yeah.
Then just took my time, dried the feet. All the pros were just talking their bike shoes and going straight off. Just, I think my transition time was like 7 minutes or something like that.
Wicked.
7 minutes.
Nice.
Not too bad. But my, so when you check in, I don't know if it's done on check-in time, but your bike can be miles away.
Yeah.
And it was the most unstable run ever.
Wait, no, it wasn't done in check-in time.
Was it pre-assigned?
It's your bib number.
Is that pre-assigned though? Was that done on the time you check in?
Oh, I see what you mean. No, I think that is pre-assigned.
Okay.
Because me and you both did the same thing where we went to pick up our stuff and we were in the open category.
Yeah.
So we were like 16, what was your number?
1636.
Yeah, so we were both 1600s then.
Yeah, so do you think that's because we were in the open? Time?
No, because we were in the open.
Okay.
Maybe it is, though, because I was 1681.
I think it's to do with registration time.
Potentially.
Because they printed it there and then.
But
I don't know. Someone could tell us.
Yeah. Before we actually get into your transition, I wanted to talk about fueling. Guys, before we hear from Jake about his nutrition plan for the race, I just wanted to introduce my first podcast sponsor here with Motional Intelligence, and it is none other than X-Miles, the one-stop shop for sports nutrition. X-Miles stock over 110 different brands, from Morton, who I actually used during the Half Ironman race, Cadence, as we know, my hydration sponsor, and so many more. I've also started using Pillar Performance's magnesium before going to bed. Great for recovery, and obviously it's just great to add into your rotation when you're training so frequently. So the nutrition plan for me during this race was 100% from X-Miles. I would use the Morton carb mix on the bike, which I would have one per hour. As we know, the race can be won or lost on the bike, and the nutrition part of it was so, so important. And as I found out in training after doing a 100k ride, I did not get it right at all. So X-Miles came in, they helped me out, they provided me some goods, and I used the Morton carb mix along with the Morton gels during the bike race. I would have one of each per hour, giving me around 93 grams of carbs, and this helped me through perfectly. X-Miles also stocks so many single serve gels and every product you need for all sorts of endurance sport, and they are now my go-to place for everything I need to compete in races like this, but also more importantly train for races like this.
And if you're a new customer, you'll be able to get 10% credit back when you purchase off X-Miles, meaning the next time you go to order, you'll get some money off.
So head to the link in the description and get your discount today. On with the episode.
So going into the bike, I think I played around with it a bit in training, yeah. I guess, but not so religious. The thing that threw me was I hadn't played around with a breakfast meal.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, I hadn't. Because
this is your like first race. Yeah.
So I had a bagel in one of the boys' hotel rooms this morning with a bit of peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And then going into the bike, I was trying to hit 80 grams of carbs an hour.
Okay.
Which kind of worked for me, but I worked... The thing... Practicing and training is so key,
uh-huh.
because I've realized that I can only do two gels in a row without feeling so sick, especially when it's hot. So I did two bottles, both with electrolytes in.
Nice.
No carb mix for me.
Okay.
And then I did either like a rice crispy bar.
Yep. But like a squares bar.
Yeah, but the rip-off proper versions. And then I do a gel in between.
Okay.
So 80 grams an hour work, like every half an hour take something.
And were you all right taking them on the bike?
Yeah, all right. Yeah. I had no aero bars, though.
Yeah,
and
neither.
If I look more comfortable when they're eating on them.
Okay, because they're kind of leaning over.
And I was just like one-handed, holding, shaking on.
I found that I struggled to get all of my gel out of the gel with one hand. Yeah. Because usually, obviously, you squeeze it with one hand and then you hold it with the other. But when you've only got one hand, you're sort of like, I was having to like fold it over and pinch it and squeeze it up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it got a bit techie.
Well, it was more, to be honest. It was when I finished it. Like, where does it go?
Yeah.
Because I was so petrified after yesterday's presentation about the million rules that you have to stick to about not littering and all this
mate,
stuff.
I was so stressed after that briefing.
I had no idea about any of that.
For those who don't know, by the way, when you're doing an Ironman race, you have these briefings, obviously, the day before. And they fill you with absolute terror. We were both sat with each other just thinking, there is literally a million ways that we can get disqualified from this race. In usual fashion, I've gone on the tangent, mate. So before we get into the bike leg, let's talk about transition. It was your first time going from the swim to the bike.
Yep.
How did you find that?
Found it fine, actually. Yep. Yeah, found it fine. Just took it easy. Can't really complain.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah.
What was your transition time?
You're going to have a
look. I'll have a look for you. T1, 6:35. It's pretty good going, mate. That is, I think it's quicker than mine. Mine was 7:56.
Well, the reason it was quick is because one of the three of us doing it, right?
Yeah.
And one of the boys was already in there when I got in.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, so he was already in there when I got in because he beat me on the swim by a minute.
Okay.
And he was ready to leave. And I thought, oh, it'd be quite a nice cycle together, especially on the flat bit at the start. So let me rush.
Got you. And he was all right to wait with you?
He wasn't.
And you caught up with him?
I caught with him.
Cool. Nice. Yeah. And you just pedaled away and...
30K together. It was nice. Yeah,
that's unreal. Yeah. And so how did you do that? Because as we mentioned briefly before going on a tangent, the referees I found where I was cycling to be quite tricky. For those who don't know, there is referees on bikes during these races, and they are there to make sure you're not breaking any rules. And if you do break rules, you can either get a yellow card, which is a penalty, or a red card, which is a disqualification. The yellow card is usually you get put in a penalty box. Yeah. So there's a few penalty boxes during the bike leg where you'd basically get pulled over. So the referee would have warned you, so he'll blow a whistle at you during the race, and then when you go past the penalty box, you'll get called in by the stewards. Saw it happen to loads of people, and the referee would go past me on the moped, and you hear it, and he'd blow his whistle, and I'm like, oh my god, what am I getting penalized for here? And then you look, and there's some guy who's gone too close to me or something, overtaking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw it a few times, not with just me, but up ahead. So it's whether they'd gone onto the other side of the road, so whether they've gone to the left side of the road rather than just sticking in between the dotted lines, or they're overtaking too near, or they're drafting. As I cycled past the penalty area, someone was explaining why they'd been pulled in, and they were saying, you were drafting.
No way, that's crazy, because I was trying not to draft,
and
then I saw this huge peloton fly past me.
I saw that a ton of times
And I was like, I'll have a bit of that.
Yeah, but I don't understand
how... Because it's so much easier, by the way.
You watch
it on the tour, and you think...
Yeah.
Does that work?
They're pushing 50 kilometers per hour in a big peloton. It's like, how are they doing that? But that's why they're doing that, because they're all together catching each other's drive.
So many unreal bikes as well flying past.
To talk about my bike leg, I had a call with Johnny Brownlee, his company's been coaching me for this event, which has been so sick. And Johnny said to me, when you go out on your bike leg, don't go all guns blazing, because he looked at the graph and he saw that we've got the hills at 35k. Yeah. He said, save it for the hills. So you want to feel like you're going too slowly. He said to me, I should feel almost annoyed that I'm not going quicker.
Okay.
Because you need to save it for the hills. So I had about 300 people overtake me, mate. Genuinely. Like TT bikes, people, like old like men on normal bikes overtaking me.
My rule was, if the bike's better than mine, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm not having some old banger go ahead.
Yeah, I know.
And I was chasing them down.
It was humbling, bro, but I had no ego with cycling during this whole thing. I've been very much like, it's my weakest discipline. I know that I'm not great at it. I'm just going to have to firm it. If it's my letdown on the day, so be it. I gave myself 8 weeks to train on the bike. It's not enough time. Yeah. But since the sprint try in the middle of the block, I was like, okay, I know I need to work on the bike here. I knew what I needed to do. So the last like 4 or 5 weeks of my block have just been hilly rides every Sunday, interval sessions. You're kind of doing like 5 minute efforts.
On rest. The trainer?
No, never used the trainer. It's still actually at our flat, not used. I spent 300 quid on this secondhand kicker core and I've not used it.
If anyone wants one.
I might sell it, but I also should probably try and set it up. But it's also just so loud. We've got a one bed flat, mate. Like it's a bit long. Anyway, came to race day and I was like, you know what? If everything goes my way, I have no bike issues. Because, by the way, I don't know how to change puncture. I don't know how to change an inner tube.
I did it once. We did a 90K simulation ride.
Yeah.
It was 9-10K laps of this country park. Mm-hmm. So it was nothing like what we did today.
Like a Richmond Park sort of thing.
Yeah, with some of the roads definitely not made for road
bumpy
bikes.
Yeah.
So I got puncture within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It took me 35 minutes to change it. So I was like, if I get a puncture today, I know how to change it, kind of.
Yeah.
But I'm... That's
but your day,
done.
Your day's, you know, done. Like, done. Time goal is gone.
But some people did get punches, I saw.
Yeah, so I was obviously riding in this first 35K period where I'm trying to take it easy. I'm not in the best of headspaces. I've got a common theme with cycling now, and people watching and listening might have the same thing if you're new to cycling. At the start of my ride, first 10K, I think it's the worst sport on the planet. I genuinely despise every fibre of it. I'm like, I was literally saying to myself, this is so fucking boring. I hate it. And then as soon as like I hit like a 30K mark or something happens, like I do something good that improves my morale, like went up that first hill, blitz past everyone. And
well,
I was like, I can do this. I'm good at this. I'm then better. I'm mentally better with the sport. But yeah, during that first 35K, when you're coming back towards that first hill,
because it's an out and back,
there's a headwind.
Yeah.
And I was like, my bike feels so sluggish, even though my speed was saying 33 kilometers an hour. Like, I wasn't going slow. I felt so sluggish, yeah? And I was like, looking at the back tire. And you know how, like, when you cycle and you look backwards and you can see the back tire and it looks like it's squishing a little bit? I kept looking at it. And it was almost like my brain was convincing me that was a wider like flat than it was. So I was like, oh my God, I think I've got a flat here. And I was genuinely convincing myself I had a flat tire. And then I was like, no, don't be stupid, because I'm literally traveling at 33 kilometers an hour and it's not making a noise.
But you've never had one, so you don't know what it's like.
Exactly, man. So I was shitting it. And then I got to the hill and I was like, right, I blitzed it up the hill. And I was like, well, I can't get up this hill like this if I've got a flat. And I was like, it's clearly not a flat. I let it go. And then we were like 80 kilometers in, 75K in. And I thought to myself, I haven't seen a single person with a puncture.
Yeah.
Coming, flying.
Near the end though, there was like a downhill. Everyone was getting flats.
This is the point. This
and
is
I
the exact point.
Like, oh, thank God.
There was that big hill and you turn back on yourself and go up it. And there's like a really gravelly path.
Yeah.
So on that gravel path, I saw one guy to my right change his tire. I was like, poor bloke. I then look up to the left. I see another one 100 meters ahead. Poor bloke again changing his tire. I'm like, that's shit luck, two in a row. I see a third guy 50 meters ahead on the right, flat tire.
Oh,
three,
man,
in the space of 200 meters.
I got a bomb better, right? So with, I want to say 10k to go, I don't know what the technical term for the part is, but the crank, is that what it's called? Shaft?
Is the crank
the bit the pedal's attached to?
Yeah, that is.
Have we just completed a half iron?
But the crank, I thought the cranks were the spikes on the front cork.
So what?
That we're looking at my bike this, for reference.
Yeah, whatever this long bit is that's attached to the pedal, you see? Yeah. The long bit?
Yeah.
Come off on one side.
Yours did?
No, this fella. He's lost the pedal and that bit. He's cycling with one leg. And he's got 10K left.
And he did it?
I'd got no idea.
Oh, my God.
But he was going, and I was thinking, you got a long way, bro. A real long way.
The mechanics surely have to help him there. But what are they going to do? They're not going to
go out and find the part.
They're not going to do that, are they?
I don't know.
Do you then have to DNF?
Don't know. Run with the bike?
I was thinking this because I was like, if I got a flat with 8K to go, I reckon I'd run it. I'd run it barefoot and take my cleats off, I think. But I was like, they definitely would disqualify you for that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Right, so bike's done.
Yeah.
What was your official finish time for the bike?
2:55.
That's unbelievable.
Never cycled. Yeah, the two 90K rides I've done.
Yeah.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Practice both came out like 3:20, 3:15.
Yeah.
So don't know how it happened today.
You actually simmed the Luxembourg course.
So I simmed. Yeah. I think the Zwift's not the official partner, so we like bootlegged it into the back end. Turned out it was nothing like the course we did today.
Okay. Did you not just do?
We took someone else's Strava data.
Yeah.
And uploaded it to Zwift as like a custom file. Wouldn't recommend it.
No, it did not simulate.
Mentally, it helps because I was like, I've done this.
Yeah.
Turned out I hadn't done it really. No. That hill wasn't there.
I found, you know, because I went into today thinking that the bike course was going to be horrific.
Yeah.
And I was like, looking at that elevation graph, I was like, there's no way I'm going to like do well here.
Yeah.
And then today, like
you
the hills.
You did do well, no?
Yeah, no, I did. Yeah. I got 3:05, mate, which is 10 minutes quicker than I was expecting.
Yeah.
I was aiming for 3:15.
Yeah, we both said 3:15.
And that would have been a great ride for me.
Yeah.
That would have been brilliant.
Same.
And got 3:05, so very happy with that. But yeah, the elevation, first hill, you get that beautiful vineyard one where you turn back on yourself.
The scenery was unbelievable today.
I kept looking up and going, oh my God, this is unbelievable.
Like, yeah, unreal.
There was one road where you come out the woods and you got like four windmills on your right.
Yeah, crazy.
Beautiful. But that first hill, I was like, right, I can do this. I think this is one of the bigger ones. So then when the second one come up, which was like 1.2K long, it was kind of like a 5%.
But long.
Yeah, really long. I was like, right, that's another one ticked off. And I knew on my Garmin that I only had like 8 categorized climbs, I believe it was.
Okay, yeah.
So as they were kept pinging off on my Garmin, I was like sort of counting down how many I've got left. I then swipe over on my bike computer and see that I've only got 120 meters of elevation remaining for the whole ride. And I was like, right, that means like one more climb. That's it.
Yeah.
Once I'd done that, I was just in such a great mood. I was like, right, just get me to that transition zone ASAP. And I absolutely flew along that motorway.
Well, I was looking, you know, because I felt so good on the bike. And everyone says, don't go all out on the bike because you've got the run. But I was thinking, I'm probably, sub-6 was the only goal today.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, I can probably get into transition with like 2:15 to do this half marathon, which is fine.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just going to go all, even if I'm going really slow, I'm going to do it quicker than that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the mentality going in.
I like that. Yeah. I think I was somewhat similar. I kind of was like, right.
So we've had similar times. We came as a come into transition at similar times, I'd imagine.
I guess so. Does it say your time that you came into transition? Yeah. So I come into bike transition at 12:10 and you come in at, it's annoying because I can't just swipe across. Oh, here we go. Yeah, we're next to each other. So you've come into your transition too at 12:24 because you swim.
Oh, because of the swim. Oh, this is a big thing as well that I didn't realize today. You're getting
that's fine.
So some people are flying past you, but your start time starts when you cross the mat.
Yeah,
so you've got some people who went, put themselves in for a really strong swim, they've been out on the course for ages.
Mm.
And I started maybe like 40 minutes after them.
Yeah.
So the time doesn't the actual time doesn't dictate like the
So you've done a 10 minute quicker bike than me, but
gotten
T2 at 15 minutes slower.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes sense. But then also you were at the back group for the swim.
Yeah.
I think ultimately the bike course was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
I was
really
happy with it. And it's the hard work that I put in over the last 3-4 weeks definitely paid off.
I think, and again, a big learning is, like, for the next one, is you're not going to win the race on the swim.
No.
A good swim and a bad swim is like 15 minutes max.
It is crazy that, isn't it?
A good swim and a good bike and a bad bike is like over an hour.
Hours.
Yeah, literally hours.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's annoying because I wanted to really be able to capitalize on the fact that I could swim.
Yeah.
And I just can't really. It's annoying.
On the full, you could.
Yeah. But look, let's talk about the run. It was the worst part of the day by absolute mile. Yeah, I knew it would be. And it was both of our strongest assets going into the race. But I just knew it was going to be a death march. Everyone had said to me, especially if you're not like an unexperienced cyclist, you're going to come into the run gassed and your legs are going to be burnt out. How did you find that?
Heavy.
When you put on the shoes, what was the feeling like?
Yeah. Wobbly legs, I think. And then in transition, there's also a run.
Yeah.
So you can kind of feel out how your legs are going to feel before you get onto the actual course. Yeah. They didn't feel great, to be honest.
I
ran a crazy split for the first K.
Oh, okay.
And I was so gassed and there was no chance I was going to keep that up. So kind of just fell into it a bit more. I don't know what the split was. You'll be able to see.
Yeah. Your first 1.5 K was, oh my God, your first 0.3 was 3:56 pace. That's insane. Is that saying the time that it took you to complete that? Yeah. You did your first 1.5K in 4:25, mate.
Rapid.
That's ridiculous.
At that point, I was like, I can't maintain this.
No, that's a lie. That's the split speed.
Oh, okay.
That's the split speed. So, yeah, your first 0.3 was done in 3:56, and then you were 4:25.
4:25.
Yes, which is still rapid.
So I was planning on holding 4:30 for the duration.
Yeah.
Didn't go that way.
No.
It was just so hot.
Hey, you averaged a 5:01, though. It's pretty impressive, mate. That's very impressive.
Yeah, 1:45 half. Yeah,
that's very good. That was the aim that I was going for. But look, let's just speak about the heat, because running in heat when you're an Englishman is not ideal because the vast majority of your training isn't heat adapted. And I think this is why so many like top runners struggled at London Marathon, because they really weren't expecting, well, nor ready for the heat.
Yeah.
It's April in the UK. You don't expect 26 degree weather. And then suddenly you have to deal with it on race day when the vast majority of your training's not adapted to that. We had today, what do we reckon? Yeah. Was it like 30 degrees today? Or is that a bit overambitious from me? 28?
Felt
that's
like
hot.
30, yeah.
But you know what's crazy? I noticed my sodium levels are really good. I don't lose much salt when I run.
Yeah.
Because I saw loads of Donnies with
like the black, full marks. Yeah.
All of the salt marks on them.
I don't have that either, really.
But I've also never cramped in a race.
Neither.
Never.
Touch wood.
Yeah. I mean, like, I reckon I've done now like 6 to 10 half marathons, 3 full marathons. Never once had a cramp.
Yeah, it's
which
crazy.
Like is quite a big sample size for.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I need to get my sweat test done because I'm really intrigued as to why. Also, I'm very, very lucky.
Yeah.
Like that is an ideal place to be in, never having to cramp. But yeah, it's weird. So I was like, today I was like, right, I'll always drink at every aid station. I don't know what your sort of tactic with that was.
My mouth was so dry, I had to drink something. I tried to take on some gels, but it was just like mush at this point
because
they were boiling from being in my back. Pocket. I didn't want to try any of these random things they have that I'd never tried before. On
what were your gels you were using?
Brand?
Yeah, you can say the brand.
Okay, cool. Yeah. The gels I was using, Beta Fuel by
SIS. Yeah,
best ones for me by
really?
Far.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, by far. I tried the Morton ones, Precision ones. Yeah,
they're my two favourites.
Oh, really?
Morton gels are the ones I've used for like the last year.
Oh, no way.
Precision are lovely as well, I think. And they're 30 grams of carbs.
Yeah, these are 40.
Okay, yeah. But so they've got caffeine in the Beta Fuel ones.
Have they?
I think so, because I did the same mistake.
I banged like five of them.
My first ever marathon, Manchester, I only use SIS Beta Fuel. Well, I used a few of the other isotonic ones.
Yeah.
And someone said to me, you know, they've got caffeine in. And I was like, what? Because I bought the nootropic ones.
Yeah.
Nootropic. Yeah, is it nootropic? The ones where they give you kind of mental boost.
Yeah, nootropic.
I bought those ones thinking that they would be a caffeine-less version.
Yeah.
And they just weren't. They had 150 milligrams of caffeine in each one. Yeah. I was buzzing off my tits, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a long, very long run.
It was a shit course as well for the run. I wasn't a fan of it.
Oh, yeah, neither.
No. Like, it was an unreal event, like, really well organized. But the course itself for the run was so bad. Like, potentially one of the nicest cycle courses you'll ever do in an Ironman event to one of the worst runs you could do.
For
just
sure.
Back and forth.
There was so much potential. What they could have just dragged it out.
Nah, but then we got the hills, bro. Imagine having to do hills.
No, but on the flat for the cycle course or something like that, I guess. There's nothing they could do with it. And also the finish line was in some random car park.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
No,
I didn't. It's this amazing setup. It's in like a car park with a skip.
Yeah,
next to it.
That's so true. They could have had it so you had the river as a backdrop or something, or the vineyards as a backdrop. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, the run was just horrific.
What was your time?
I got... Let me find... I keep forgetting my times. I ran an average pace of 5.22. And I got a run time of 1.53.
And what were you going for 1.45?
I was, yeah. I was trying to shoot for like a 450 average. That's what my plan was. But quickly realised that was not going to happen.
But your bike was better, so it kind of didn't matter.
Yeah. What I will say is to anyone who is entering a half Ironman event for the first time, do obviously train on compromised legs. But no matter how much you prepare, it's always going to be horrifically hard.
Yeah.
This is the thing. I think so many people can nitpick at people's results and go, well, this is the reason because you didn't prepare for it. But if you like live your life, you're not going to be able to prepare for every single outcome.
Yeah,
this is what I found in training. Like the balance of training three different disciplines was so difficult and feeling like you were on top of all three of them.
Well, it's if you come from like a running, not so much. I don't think it's as important. I think if you come from a bike background, triathlon for you will be like so easy.
Yeah.
Because if you can do like a 215 or 230 90k cycle,
yeah,
you've got so much time.
And also cyclists, they're so aerobically like
fit
that they can just bang out. Like one of my mates, Toby, he's a very, very good cyclist. He's like semi-pro and he does like 18 minute 5ks. Like he's so rapid. So he's like one of these people, like the vast majority of them can be able, like can do it.
Yeah, for sure.
What was your takeaways from the event, mate? How would you summarize the day?
No, it was a good setup. I was, being the first event, the nerves going into it were like, I wouldn't say ruined it, but it was only when I got on the bike, I started to like enjoy it because I was so nervous about the swim and there was so much waiting around at the start.
For sure.
It was like an hour of waiting around for me because I was in like one of the further back packs. But no, I think the setup generally was good. I wouldn't be doing one in the UK, I don't think.
Yeah.
But I think if you're going to do it, it's worth
make
doing
it, a holiday
it abroad.
If you can.
If you can, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's so expensive. Like, this whole thing has been...
It's not an accessible sport.
Outrageous. Yeah, the whole thing's outrageous.
How much do you reckon you spent on your whole block?
Probably about 9K.
9K.
And I bought a second-hand bike.
Yeah, fuck, man. That's mental.
Mental.
So I'm trying to think how much. If I include, like, this whole trip and...
The entry was €500, no? Or something
entry
like that.
Entry is €500. And then you've got another €200 for the channel crossing. Petrol. Accommodation. That's
bike.
£1,000.
Yeah. Bike.
Then bike, yeah. Bike.
Wetsuit.
Bike cost me €1,800.
Yeah. Wetsuit was how much?
I luckily got it gifted.
Okay.
Again, that's the thing. I'm in a fucking privileged position, mate.
Oh, no, for sure. I got my tri-suit for free.
Yeah. Like,
and the tri-suit was meant to be $599.
That's insane. That's mental. Like, that's what. Why is something that's an all-in-one essentially running half-tight worth £600? How?
Well, I feel like it's the same with cycling. Like, some of these brands, like the bib shorts are like £250, £300 quid.
Yeah.
And they can just charge what they want because everyone that does it is wealthy, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It's a bit of an elitist sport,
it's
something that I feel now more people are doing will become more accessible.
Yeah,
there was people have told me that the COVID cycling boom really affected the industry. So obviously during COVID, loads of people took up road biking. So the companies stocked loads more bikes, made loads more bikes at their factories, and then no one bought them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they were trying to meet demand of COVID. Then after COVID, less people were buying them. So then they were left with all of this excess stock that they needed to sell. So they had to have massive flash sales, and it really just ruined a lot of companies.
Oh, really? Oh, no way.
Yeah, so I think that's why now everything's so much more expensive.
That's crazy. What about you? Takeaways?
Takeaways are, don't beat yourself up in training, because I really neglected my running during this training because I was so focused on getting good on the bike and also trying to get to a good enough level where I can actually capitalize on the swim. I think also, if you are a decent, like a half decent swimmer like I was, like where you can hold your own in a pool and do good sessions and put up good times,
you're going to finish the race.
Exactly.
It's just, if you want, you're not going to be doing sub six probably.
No, I think you could eat, like, you did 5:33 and you have never swum before.
I mean, if you're a good swimmer and don't put that much effort into training on the bike and running, then you'll finish the race.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But essentially what I was going to go to that is, don't deep the swimming too much.
Okay. Yeah. No, agreed.
Because I definitely, in the early weeks of training, were like, I'm really good at swimming. I'm going to try and like double down on it and really maximize my chances of getting a good swim time. But then I realized I should have been putting that extra energy into getting good on the bike.
Again, because good on the bike's everything.
If I added two extra weeks of like really focused bike training, because it took me a few weeks to get used to it, if I'd really given the two extra weeks to focus on getting good on the bike, I could have shaved 15 minutes off my time.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know what I'm saying? So, and then obviously practicing running with compromised legs, as we've said. Overall, mate, just an amazing experience. It was today's mental place that I went to was something I've never done in a race. I feel like I'm now quite experienced in races. I've done a fair few marathons, and I've been in positions where I've really had to mentally dig deep, but this today was a different kettle of fish, man. Different kettle of fish.
Some of those laps are hard.
So if you don't know, when you've got a lapped Ironman course, they'll give you a wristband to indicate what lap you've done, so you can actually just look around the pack, I guess, and just see how many laps people are on. But they would give you a yellow, a blue, and a red, and if you got a yellow, blue, and a red, you were on your final lap, and that meant that when you turned for home, you would go down the straight for the finish line rather than back through to go and get your wristband. And that final bracelet was the toughest thing ever, because I was like, okay, I'm almost done. But then you know how long that lap is, mate.
And you have to run past the finish.
Oh, you see all these people turning in, and then you can hear the screams and the happiness. And, mate, the fucking burger van, the smell of it, I was like, making me feel sick. I was like, I do not want to be smelling cooked food right now.
Well, I remember when you're going around this course, because it's a repeated one, you'll see markers for all the distances.
Yeah.
And I remember like maybe being 5K into the run, there's the 5K markers next to, I think, like the 18K.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'd kill to be looking at that 18 right now, and I'm looking at 5. But when I got to 18, I was like, oh, I still got so... like, this 2K is going to be horrific.
Yeah, it was a rough day out there, man. But what an experience. I've learned so much about my physical capabilities as well. Yeah, and I'm sure you're the same.
Yeah, same. Did you see Gordon?
I didn't, but Izzy and Ollie saw him a few times.
Oh, nice.
Did you? I think I ran past him, but I couldn't tell it was him from the back.
Yeah, I ran past him. I think he might have been struggling with a little niggle.
Oh, really?
Because he was coming back from some sort of injury, but the two of the boys ran with him for a bit. Apparently he gave some motivational speech.
Yeah. What, so they were just yapping away with him?
Yeah, well, one of the boys, he basically left his ticket booking too late, so he ended up paying €1,000. Crazy, eh?
What?
Because standard entry was sold out, so we had to get this, it's called the Navara package, I think, where you get like a bike service, the most expensive massage in the world. Anyway, it's €500 more than what we paid.
Oh my.
And there was 8 people in there. Gordon and his son were one of them. Oh. So they were just stood around before the swim, just having a good old yap.
That's so funny, man. Did they have a separate entrance?
Yeah, separate entry, yeah.
That's crazy. So they were like essentially like sort of a red carpet.
Yeah,
treatment.
Basically. Yeah.
That's mental.
But we beat him, so.
Yeah, did. We did. I think he struggled a bit, but I mean, look, the geezer's mid-50s. Fair play.
Yeah, I hope that's me one day.
Absolutely fair. And he's jacked as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Big lad. It's been an amazing day, man. One to remember for sure. Thank you so much for joining me to chat about it.
Cheers, bro.
Appreciate it, man. Where can people find you?
Jake with two E's. I need to change this. It's Jake with two E's Bird on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, coming soon.
Oh, nice,
the
man.
Iron Man.
You've had a videographer out here filming you,
haven't
you?
Yeah, for sure.
Wicked. I just basically, it's for me, it's so nice to be able to just reflect on what we've done today in podcast format, because you know videos only show so much.
Yeah.
Like you're only bits. You've, it shows the best bits, but also sometimes you want to just sort of chat freely about it. So yeah, thanks so much for joining me, man.
Yeah, cheers, bro.
Thank you very much for listening, watching. Make sure you check out Emotional Intelligence on YouTube, audio platforms, wherever you listen, Instagram, TikTok. All links will be in description. Thank you very much for joining. I'll catch you next week.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.